me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Job chapter 41. Job chapter 41, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put an hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? Or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion. Who can discover the face of his garment, or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered. By his kneesings a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath is kindled coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned to joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone, yea, as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. When he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid by reason of the breakings. They purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold, the spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Slingstones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him, and one would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not like his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all things. He is king over all the children of pride. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, this is one of those passages where you come to Job chapter 41 and you say, okay, this Leviathan, who is he or what is he? Well, we don't know. We don't know for sure. Some have posited maybe as some ancient creature, a fire-breathing dragon or something. Some have posited maybe those seafaring crocodiles, right? Those that are upwards of 25 or 30 feet long that have come ashore and conquered armies with their appetite. Some have said perhaps this is a whale, some kind of creature like that, maybe one of the more aggressive species of whale, or maybe one that is now extinct. We don't know for for sure. We know that it was an animal that was known, however, to Job. Job knew what God was talking about. And there are several characteristics of this animal. I divide the passage into three sections. There's the description before. There's the hinge pin of the passage, which is down in verses 10 and 11. And then 12 through the end of the chapter goes back to a description of this animal and his great power. And mostly to show that he is indeed unruly with regard to men, but not so with God. So that's the point. God continues on then with his argument to Job. How is it that you were not afraid to speak against me or to me in a disrespectful fashion, seeing that I do all these things? This is what chapters 38 and 39 and 40 are about. In fact, we heard last week in Job's first step in personal reformation or repentance. What was the first step we heard? The Lord says to him, "Answer me!" And he says, "No, I think I've said too much already. Thank you. I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Behold, I am vile." And that's the first step in Job's reformation, is it not? Now we're going to get that second step, Lord willing, this afternoon in chapter 42, where there is one more thing that Job will say. And it's a high piece of poetic irony, and yet it shows Job's humility and his refusal to speak against God any longer. And so what do we have here in this passage then? We have a description of this animal who cannot be ruled by men. You can't fish for him like you would a bass or a trout. Are you gonna pierce his jaw with a thorn? Because what's a thorn? Well, that's what they fished with in those days. You know, they had hooks, yes. But if you were poor and couldn't afford to go to the guy that forged hooks out of metal, then you would use a thorn. And you'd hook it on to the cord, and you'd put it in the water, and you'd do what was called your angling, right? It's called an angle because you keep that pole at the right angle. Will he make a covenant with thee, right? Well, that's what happens when you've been defeated. What's the first thing you sue for if you've been defeated, if you've been brought under bondage? You make a covenant. You sue for some kind of right treatment. Will he make a covenant with you? And, of course, that's a rhetorical question. He's not going to do that. He can't do it. He won't do it because you will not best him. You will not defeat him. He's not going to ask you for terms. Will you play with him as with a bird? Will you bind him for your maidens? Shall the companions, shall you have a party? Shall you throw a party and have crocodile meat? Is that how you're going to handle that? And in those days, it's a rhetorical question. The answer is obviously not. This is an animal that we don't mess with. And that's what it says down in verses 9 and 10. Verse 8. Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle and do no more. Remember what it will be like if you catch hold of him. And don't do that. That's going to lead to ruin. And they understand that. They understood that. And so Job is hearing all these things about Leviathan, and he's agreeing all the way through. But then what does the Lord say? The Lord says, "None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then hath prevented me that I should repay him? Or who then is able to stand before me?" The Lord says, who made Leviathan? Who sustains Leviathan? Who has given him his great power? And who commands him even today? I do. If you're afraid to stand up before Leviathan, then why would you not be afraid to stand up before me in your pride? And so you see the argument that the Lord brings here. It's very clear. He's reasoning from, we want to say, from the lesser to the greater, and yet even that lesser is so great in the person of this animal here that he's talking about, and yet he is nothing compared to God. And then the Lord goes on to show all of the rest of the tools that he has given to Leviathan so that Leviathan would indeed survive, and how that great beast serves the purposes that God has designed him to serve. And so it is a very simple chapter, really. See this great animal. Understand how you fear him. Why then would you not fear me? The Lord says. Why would you rise up against me and call my working into judgment when you would not rise up before one of my creatures and do the same? A creature whose power is nothing compared to mine, who I raise up and cast down at my pleasure. And so, while he beholds, that is this Leviathan, and this is the last verse, he beholds all things, he is king over all the children of pride. No one comes up against him. The Lord would indeed remind Job in that last verse there. Then, why would you rise up against me? And so notice the great work of humbling that God is doing upon Job, and it is exactly what Job needed to hear at this point. All right, we'll leave it there. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in the singing.